This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio here on NPR One.
I'm going to tell you about how to take a trip to make-believe country. Seems fitting these days, seen as most of the places we can travel are in our imagination. But this is actually a real make-believe country, if you could have such a thing. And it's complicated, surprisingly, to get there. It's, when it doesn't exist, it's hard. What happens, first you meet a high-ranking government official for your make-believe country, and you get them to agree that you can visit. Then you get on a bus and start traveling overnight. Now, this particular country is Transnistria, and it's a sliver of land between Ukraine and Moldova, and it's in the former Soviet Union where many of these countries exist, because what happened is Soviet Union was really good at setting things up so if the Soviet Union falls apart, the whole system falls apart. And basically it's one of those kind of like the kid who licks every single candy in the candy box so other people can eat them, but they're all messed up. Kind of what happens here. And so Soviet Union liked to move people around. And then so when it collapsed, you've got Azerbaijanis and Armenians and Azerbaijani. And these two people don't get along and it kind of messes everything up. But under Soviet times, it worked. So, and another thing they liked to do was leave Russian troops in countries with supposed weapons stockpiles, or real or imagined. So Transnistria was one of these places, and obviously it became a very nice place to engage in smuggling, because it's just, it doesn't exist, right? It's acknowledged by Transnistria, the Transnistria president, because it actually, like any good country, has to have a president. And it's also acknowledged by Russia. And that is it. Moldova considers it just Moldova. That was kind of where I ran into my first problem. So I got on this overnight bus, and then we stopped at, I guess it would be a border. I didn't know if it was the Moldovan border or if it was the Transnistria border or who the border guards are. There were men with weapons, and they were taking our passports. And this was kind of okay. Everyone slips their passports. And I tried to slip my blue American passport in between my companion's kind of maroon passports, because they had Ukrainian passports. And so it would be less obvious. And the armed man gets off with all our passports, big stack of passports, and comes back a couple minutes later, passes them back. And I'm in the back of the bus, and I'm thinking, okay, all good. Everyone's getting their passports. We can get going again. And then he comes to the blue passport and he hands it to me, and then he takes it back, and then he tells me to come with him. And now no one else in the bus was asked to get off, just me. I was also the only one with that special blue passport. And my friend tries to argue, she also was a translator because I spoke some Russian, but not very much, that I needed a translator. He couldn't take me off alone, but he insisted he wanted just me, no one else. So he took me off the bus, and as we're walking to the little guard station, I'm trying to decide if he's Moldovan or if he's Transnistria. This is kind of an important question, because when he asks me what I'm doing there, I have to decide if I say I'm traveling to Transnistria and he's Moldovan, then he's going to get pretty upset because that country doesn't exist in his country. But if he's Transnistria and I tell him I'm traveling to Moldova, he's going to get upset because I'm actually in his country, in Transnistria. And there's no real, I don't know how these borders work when the country doesn't exist. So I'm trying to debate all this while also it's about 2 a.m. and I'm really tired. And he's speaking Russian and a mix of English, and I'm speaking broken Russian, and I have no idea what's going on. So we get in this little booth, and he just has fun flipping through my passport, asking about places I've been, asking what I'm doing. And I try and just be very vague about where it is I'm actually going. And finally, he lets me back on the bus. And to this day, I'm not really sure what official he was, if he was from Moldova or Transnistria, because that never somehow even came into this conversation, which is very weird for a border crossing. But he put something in my passport, got back on the bus. I feel like we went through another crossing, but it wasn't as eventful. I think I was not taken off. We get to Transnistria, and it's really interesting because it's kind of like being back in the Soviet Union. I never was in the Soviet Union, but there's a nice big Stalin statue right there in the center of things. There's hammer and sickle everywhere. And as my friend points out, who grew up in the Soviet Union, the buses actually have heat, like back in Soviet times. We also have a little tail, someone who follows us around everywhere, which also I've heard from stories is very Soviet-like. And the first thing we have to do is check in with the police and get some sort of paper clearance or something. And so we go in there and check in, and they tell us something about how long we can stay and to be very careful keeping this piece of paper. And then we have to change money. So this is complicated because I had American dollars, I had Ukrainian hryvnias, and now I didn't know, was I changing it to Moldovan money or Transnistrian money? And apparently Transnistria does. They have their own president, they have their own money, and you can use it in exactly one place, Transnistria. And do not, this is good warning, do not try to then exchange that money when you leave Transnistria in Moldova for Moldovan money, because the Moldovans will ask you where this money came from, and you tell them Transnistria, and they'll say where, and you'll tell them, and they'll say where, and it'll kind of just go like that, and you'll get absolutely nowhere, and your money will be worthless, because outside of Transnistria, it doesn't exist, because Transnistria doesn't exist. So these are the very complicated actual issues with traveling to this make-believe country. The highlight, I would say, I never did find the weapons stockpile. I asked about it. I kind of got laughed at on that one. But I did get to meet the president. So I wasn't sure again how to address said president, because it's not like he was the president of Ukraine or the president of the U.S. He was the president of Transnistria. And so he's the president of nothing in some ways, but he's still president. He had his own book. He had his face all over posters and everything, and he was a big deal to the people in this tiny sliver of land. So I got to meet him, and apparently him meeting with American journalists became the news instead of my story about being there. And so there was a big TV camera there filming the whole interview, which was very superficial at that point, but it was interesting. And he had some really good tea, which I then tried to search down. So eventually I leave and go through some more border crossings. In getting into Moldova, they warn me traveling back, I have a certain amount of time I have to pass through Transnistria, even though Transnistria, of course, doesn't exist. Well, it does exist as part of Moldova. And so it's getting really complicated. And then I try and change the money, and that's when I get laughed at on trying to change the money, because the money doesn't exist. So I think I still have some of that money somewhere. I still have the book from the president who then won another re-election after that. This was the beginning part of this century, back when there were even more of these places. And then I finally get back through Moldova and then back to Ukraine eventually. And you would think this would kind of do it for me on visiting make-believe places, but apparently not, because decade or so later, I find myself back in former Soviet Union, this time in the Caucasus, in Armenia. And I hear about, this is a little different, it's not a whole country, but it's a village that doesn't exist. I'm told this by a guy who's chain-smoking cigars and talking very covertly to me, and it's all very cloak and dagger. So, of course, as a journalist, I'm fascinated. He explains to me, now I learn about exclaves and enclaves, and where what happened was it was just a little territory within a country that had a certain amount of people from another country that are separated from their own country. So you'd have this little town in Armenia where there are a bunch of Azerbaijanis, and then you'd have a little town in Azerbaijan where there are a bunch of Armenians. And after the collapse of the Soviet Union, there was a whole war between these two countries, which actually is still kind of going on. It's a frozen war, another interesting term. And then all the Azerbaijanis left the little town in Armenia, vice versa. The problem here is the little town is now occupied by about 170 Armenians. But Armenia does not acknowledge that little town, because if it says it has that little town, then it might reignite that frozen war with Azerbaijan. So we go to this town that doesn't exist. And so this town that doesn't exist has a school that doesn't exist. And this school gets absolutely no funding from the Armenian government because the town doesn't exist. The roads don't get any repairs because they also don't exist. Same goes for street lamps and everything else and mail. And so my favorite was when I was trying to figure out, well, what about property? And I talked to the people who bought houses. And so one person had a house and he showed me a handwritten piece of paper. And so basically, when you buy and sell a house, it's just an agreement between two people drawn out by hand, no lawyer, no government, no nothing, because the property is in a place that doesn't exist. So I eventually do get out of the place that doesn't exist. But there, at one point, I kind of started thinking, you know, this is a great place for people to just disappear. Because they aren't anywhere already. And this is a place that doesn't exist. And I was with people chain-smoking cigars who were a little shady to start with. So that was my last trip to a make-believe place. And I've kind of thought twice about going back to another.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Seventy-five years ago, World War II ended. It was the deadliest military conflict in history, resulting in 85 million casualties. We mark the anniversary of the end of that war by celebrating the heroism of our greatest generation, those who served and those who supported their efforts at home. On September 2nd, we will commemorate the signing of the Articles of Surrender aboard the battleship Missouri Memorial at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. A celebration of the peace that followed. Salute their service, honor their hope. Join us virtually for the events on September 2nd, 2020. For further information, go to 75thww2commemoration.org.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of the Second World War.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. And in fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.